We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So we've been reading from the first letter of John for the past few weeks, and we're going to keep reading it for a couple weeks more. So I thought this might be a good time to introduce what the author of 1 John is trying to teach us. Now, it might be John, or it might be one of his disciples. It's more likely that it was one of his disciples, because it was written late. But this is a collection of the thoughts of a particular community early in Christianity. Now, the author of 1 John is writing against a particular virulent form of heresy that had just begun in the early church. Heresy. It's that word, right? And the reason why early Christian writers were writing about heresy is not because they were trying to always just have agreement. Because if you look at the early church, actually they argued quite a bit. They didn't like heresy because heresy is bad for you. It's like a disease. You laugh, but it's true. Heresy is very bad for you. And he's writing against this particular heresy because he thinks that what they're teaching is bad for the people of God. And here's what they're teaching. This heretical group called Docetists, you do not have to remember that term, believed that Jesus didn't really suffer and die on the cross. They believed that God created an illusory person, what we might call a hologram today, to go on the cross and pretend to die. Ha ha ha, Romans, I still win. This is particularly problematic because, first off, obviously we hear from Jesus very often saying, I laid down my life for the sheep. So that makes Jesus into a liar. Because he didn't really lay down his life, if it was just a fake sort of thing. Second of all, it means that God just hung out with a bunch of people, pretended that he was going to suffer and die for them, dragged them through an emotional roller coaster, and then just popped them and said, see, I'm still okay. Heresy is bad for you. And it makes God look bad. And here's the thing that he's really concerned about. There's two things that the author of 1 John is focusing on. First, that we believe in Jesus, that he was the Son of God, that he was God made flesh and not a hologram. And the second is that we love one another. And to him, these two things are very much intertwined. Why? He begins with, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. And we even hear Jesus say that in the Good Shepherd, right? He says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, if we are called to mirror Jesus in our actions and in our lives, that means that we seek to have a love like that. A love that does not count the cost. A love that is willing to go to the edge of life and beyond. This is who we are called to mirror. So, if we believe a false teaching whereby he didn't really suffer and die, well, what does that mean for us? We don't have to suffer that much. We don't have to give. We don't have to love in that way. It doesn't apply to us. Our God didn't do that. You see why he's worried about this heresy. Because if we're called to mirror Jesus, and Jesus didn't really suffer, and Jesus didn't really die, and Jesus didn't really love us quite that much, then we don't have to love each other quite that much. And so that's why his second major focus is on love. He says we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and refuses help? He is perplexed by this. How can you claim to have God's love when you can see suffering in the world and just be sort of passé about it? To him, it's very important that we love one another. And this, he's sharing this with Jesus, right? Jesus, what is his most important commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. Love of God and love of neighbor. And here's a particularly interesting part of this schism at the time, is that a lot of the people who had left this church community were among the wealthy, and they were hoarding wealth, and they were not sharing it with their brother and sister in need. And it's kind of easy, particularly when you have a lot, to be able to say, I don't have to really give it all up, right? Some of this is for me. Most of this is for me. And if you don't believe that Jesus suffered and died for you and that you're not called to mimic that particular example, then you can actually count the cost and say, I don't have to go down that far. I don't have to sink down that low. I don't have to give up that much of myself. I can still be me for all intents and purposes. But we're not, as Christians, called to just be us. We're called to be Jesus. We're called to be like Jesus. We're called to be with Jesus. And we're told that as we become more like Jesus, we become more like ourselves. Our truest selves, the selves that want to love, the selves that want to give, the selves that want to help people without fear. So you can see why heresy is bad for you. And how does that apply to us today? Because if we do not keep in mind all the time that God loves us enough to have become one of us, to have walked with us, to have laughed with us, to have cried with us, to have shared with us, to have taught us, to have died for us, and then rose for us. If we can't keep that in mind, then it becomes so much easier to turn a blind eye to the sufferings of the world. It becomes so much easier to just not even try. And for those of us who are a little concerned, because we're thinking now about the times where we haven't expressed the love of God for our neighbor, where we haven't given up what we have for those in need, be assured, as the author of 1 John tells us, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than us, than our hearts, and he knows everything, that he will reassure our hearts. If we're flagging in our faith, if we know that we are sinning, God will forgive us. That's also throughout the first letter of John, that God will forgive sins. Because the most important thing that we carry with us is this power of love. Not the emotion of love, not the feeling of love, the power of love. Love acting and doing in the world. As we are told in other parts of Scripture, charity and love cover a multitude of sins. God looks at what's inside, and God looks at what we do when we are at our best, and God remembers these things. So we should be comforted that even when we fail, God is still looking upon us charitably, and that God's love will conquer our sin. And that's just sort of a beautiful thing. Because as long as we are trying to love, as long as we are trying to do good, as long as we are seeking to be better about these things, then God is with us all along the way. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would remember that Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, was willing to lay down his life for us, his sheep. I pray that we would carry this memory of God's love with us everywhere we go. And I pray that when we see one of our brothers and sisters in need out in the world, that we would remember the love of God, whereby he laid down his life for us, and see if maybe we can find some of that love for our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please, be seated. So we've been reading from the first letter of John since just after Easter. And it's one of the important letters in the Bible. It's one of the, it's the one where we hear the term, God is love. It's very important to us to remember this. God is love, and all love comes from God. So it's a beautifully written letter. And what's striking to me about it is that there's this dual emphasis in this letter on love, obviously, right? God is love. But also on the reality of who Jesus was, that he laid down his life for us. And the reason why this is a big focus in this first letter of John is that the author is living in a church that has just been divided by a schism, and a number of members have left the church to follow a heresy. Dun dun dun, heresy. I love and hate that word. But he is writing against that heresy because, not because we have to keep a common and exact opinion among all things among believing Christians, because if you look at the way that people wrote to each other in the early church, you will see that they argued quite often. Why he is combating heresy in this is because heresy is bad for you. It's really bad for you. And in this particular heresy, the belief that the people have left to follow is something called docetism. You don't have to remember it. There will not be a quiz. But docetism is this belief that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross, that it was an image, an illusion, what we might call a hologram. So essentially, God appeared to have died on the cross, and nothing really bad happened to him. And that's a really problematic thing. Because when you look, for instance, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Well, if Jesus didn't lay down his life for the sheep, then he's not really a good shepherd. Now, is he? And that's sort of the problem, because if you believe that Jesus did not really die, that God did not take human form to walk among us, love us, teach us, laugh with us, cry with us, die for us, and raise again for us, then God, in that analysis, becomes a liar. And he says to us, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. The point that our author is making here is that we, as Christians, are called to mimic Jesus, to make and model our life after Jesus. And so if we are doing that, and we are looking at this wonderful example of self-sacrifice and love for the whole world, if you believe that that was not really a sacrifice, well, then you don't have to really try to mirror it, do you? That is why heresy is bad for you, because it convinces you that you don't really have to be like the Jesus that we read about, and that you can just kind of do whatever you feel like. And that was the problem with the people who had split from John's church. They had gone their own separate ways. They believed what they wanted to believe. They were probably among the wealthier members of the congregation. And the funny thing is that as soon as they left and stopped believing that Jesus loved them so much that he was willing to die for them, they stopped being charitable, loving, caring for those around them. And so that's why John says, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? This is the danger in John's time of not believing of this in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, because then you start to convince yourself that you don't have to give as much. God didn't sacrifice himself, so why should I have to sacrifice myself? Why should I have to give when God didn't give quite as much? And we see the spiral, and this is why heresy is bad for you. If you take nothing else out of this sermon, remember that heresy is bad for you. And so John, in this letter, has a really big focus, and his big focus is on the reality of who Jesus was and the reality of the cross, and also on love. Because to John, the biggest part of the Christian life is love. He even says, God is love, and all love comes from God. So all that we do in love is love coming through us from God out into the world. And this is how we model Jesus' behavior in the world, is letting this love go through us and not counting the cost and actually trying to be like Jesus. And remembering, if we remember what Jesus has done for us, then it becomes easier to actually give ourselves more freely. Because we also remember that the Jesus who died for us is also the Jesus who rose for us. So that there is nothing in this world that we should be afraid of, because Jesus will be always there to bring us to new life. And so the author of John is really trying to encourage this love, because he knows that if you believe in this love, then you can't possibly believe in this lie. And conversely, when you act in this love, you can feel the presence of Christ happening in your actions. You can feel yourself becoming more and more like Christ. And he says, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Let this be real and not just words to us. And he also knows, just like we know, that it is very difficult to love in that way all the time. We know that we fail. I'm sure a number of us can think about times in our lives where we have seen people who maybe needed our help, who were poor, who were sick, who were unfortunate, in bad shape, and we just walked by. We left them alone. I know I can think about numerous times in my life where I have done that. And yet, we are told that as we continue to try to live in truth and action, not just speech, not just words, but loving actively, that the truth will reassure our hearts before God, even if our hearts condemn us, even if we feel guilty about the things that we have not done. God is greater than our hearts, and God knows everything. God will forgive us so long as we keep trying and doing our best and living our life as best as we can in the model of Jesus. And all of this, the reason why I bring up this heresy, right? The reason why I bring up this idea that there was an illusory Christ who did not really die for us, okay? The reason why I bring this up is because it is important for us as Christians to remember in our everyday life that God is love, that God loved us so much that God was willing to die for us, and that all that we do should spring from that. Because if we forget the sacrifice made by Christ, if we forget that God loved us enough to become one of us, to live among us, to die for us, and to rise for us, if we forget these things, then it becomes all too easy to forget how to love our neighbor, to forget to reach out to those in need, to forget to be the presence of Christ in this world. Because if we've forgotten the love of God, then we really don't have anything on which to model our actions. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would remember that we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. I pray that we would remember that we are called to mirror and model that life and that sacrifice in our own lives. And I pray that we would remember the commandment that we should love one another as Christ has loved us, and that when we see God's people out in the world and they need our help, that we would remember that that love is alive inside of us and just waiting to reach out to them. In Jesus' name, amen.